We got a few minutes left, and I want to talk about identity. We're always talking about identity because it's the quintessential, it is the crucial issue of our lives as born-again sons and daughters of heaven. And as we start a new year, it felt good to me, and I reckon to the Holy Spirit, to just address a few ideas regarding who we are in Christ Jesus and what God has declared over us as individuals and also this house. Yeah? How many of you were here last week for that awful sermon? That's good. And it was awful, wasn't it? And are we, if you know what I'm saying, and I say we're going to have an awful year, say amen.
Amen.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, I'm just going to leave it hanging there. But actually, somebody, I should read this quickly, too. After Sunday, I got a text. I'm trying to, forgive me, because now I can't remember who it came from. But it was, they suggested Proverbs 14. Oh, but it was in the... I think it was in the Message version, and it said, does anybody have a message with them that can turn to Proverbs 14? Anybody have that? I've got it on my phone. While you're looking that up, I'm just going to get started because we're short on time. I want to jump into 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 26. For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, that he might nullify the things that are, that no man should boast before God. And it goes on in verse 30 to say, Jesus is our wisdom, our life, our light. It's in him that we are satisfied. But here he's talking about the weak and the fool. Anybody here ever feel or have felt, I'm not making declaration over your lives, understand me, but have you ever felt weak or foolish? Yeah? Anybody besides me? Then this is about us. This is about what God does when he discovers those that have actually abandoned all hope in themselves, like Paul did when they lost all hope in the storm on the sea, and finally abandoned themselves to God. I've got so many times here now. I'm good. Here it is. Thanks. Oh, thanks so much, you guys. Thanks, Carl. Here it is, verse 26. In the Message of Proverbs 14, the fear of God builds up confidence and makes the world safe for your. Is this the Message? The Message. Does anybody have the Passion? God bless you for the Message as well. Proverbs 14. I'm never going to preach this morning. I'm just going to read all the versions of Proverbs 14:20. Here it is. Here it is in the Passion. Okay? Confidence and strength flood the hearts of the lovers of God who live in awe of him. And their devotion provides their children with a place of shelter and security. To worship God in wonder and awe opens a fountain of life within you, empowering you to escape death's domain. That's good. That is really good. Should I just leave this here, Kath, and the Message? Those will be on my bookshelf now. Praise God. All right, we're talking about the weak and foolish things that God has taken to shame the so-called wise and strong in the world that are there by presumption. And we know this about God. God chooses the small things, the things that are not, and causes them to be, as a testimony to his power, as a testimony to the power of the cross, and it drives the enemy back, weakens his grip on all his presumptuous strategies and posturing. And God loves to do this, so he chose Israel. The most stubborn, stiff-necked, difficult to work with, an annoying, irritating race of individuals, God bless you, if you are Israeli, in the world, and had his way with them so that when it succeeds, he gets the glory. And still, the church in the world is jealous of Israel, going, well, God, why Israel? Why not us? And they've missed the point entirely. It pleased God to choose the weakest and foolish and to raise them by his grace and sovereign purpose into the condition that we're seeing transformed into today, where Israel is becoming a light to the whole world, discovering cures for cancer and preemptive issues for all sorts of life-threatening circumstances in the earth. And Israeli technology is at the forefront of human divine creativity. Awesome. And yet God chose Israel of all the nations. God chose Gideon, the least of his family, in the least of the tribes of Israel, to bring about a great victory against Midian. God chose Bethlehem, smallest in Judea. This little house of bread, nondescript place, as the birthplace of Jesus that we've just celebrated, and then Nazareth to raise him in, a place where everyone felt disdain for Nazareth because it sat on a ridgetop and all the grain and vitality was in the valley floors. Nazareth being on a ridgetop, it's all rocky and stony up there. Nothing can be produced, no fields worth mentioning. And so the phrase comes, can anything good come from Nazareth, because it's set up amongst the rocks. There's nothing there. And yet that's where Jesus came to maturity. He chose Jerusalem. Nothing to recommend Jerusalem at all historically. It's not on a main highway. There's no great water sources there. A few springs. It's hard to get to. There's no point to Jerusalem. And that is precisely the point, isn't it? Isn't it? That's where God placed his name forever. In a town called Jebus, renamed Yerushalayim, that would be the throne of the great king. It has nothing in itself to recommend itself other than the choosing of God. God chose a cross, which was an unspeakable, horrible method of execution and torture. And he's elevated it to the point, isn't it odd? That being the case, yet we wear them in gold around our necks. And it has become the abiding symbol that draws men and women to the truth. We put one up. Do you remember when we came, honey, back 17 years ago to what was then Nambour Baptist Church? And some of you remember those days as well and have been here way longer than I have been. But there was something on the pole out here that I thought was a Telstra translation station. It was artwork that came with the original building back 30, 40 years ago. And it was clever and nice, but it looked like chicken wire all stuck to the post. And I literally thought, I asked one of the elders when I first came here as a pastor, are they paying you rent for the use of your pole? Because I thought somehow it was either a cell phone relay or a microwave thing or something. It was that weird, wasn't it, Paul? Do you remember that? It was. I don't know what it was. And finally, when we renovated, we pruned all of those off and just couldn't think of anything better than just to put a simple cross up there. Because God has taken this horrific element of torture and suffering and death and elevated it by his choosing to a place of honor and glory and wonder and mystery. Hey. And having said all that, God's chosen you and me. That's the greatest mystery of all. Absolutely the greatest mystery of all. And he's touched you and he's transformed you and me, who were in ourselves nothing to speak of, nothing to recommend us. I'm not here preaching a message about, oh, what a worm am I, because that is no longer the case, because God touches you and transforms you into a son or a daughter of heaven. And that is something that the world desperately needs to see, because you stride through your life in a broken world, a source of life and light, because of what God has chosen, because of what he has done. And there's not an exception in this room. If you love Jesus, you are a walking miracle. A walking miracle. Something glorious, something near indescribable, because of God's choosing. because of God's choosing. And it's important as we begin a new year. And this isn't just an arbitrary, you know, we didn't invent the years. You got to understand there's a higher power at work here. And God set the stars, the sun and the moon in place for signs and for seasons. And we've been measuring time by the birth of Jesus for centuries. And so when we transition into a new year, according to that counting, don't think that clever men invented the count of years. This is something that was birthed in the heart of God and sown into the creative mindsets of men and women who were hungry and searching for ways to measure time. And here we find ourselves now in the beginning of a new year, 2019. And don't think it's arbitrary. There is something afoot here. And it's important at the beginning of this year, every year, of course, but 2019 comes with some powerful promises. Hanging over this house for peace and unity and agreement and such fruitfulness and posturing as makes look 2018 look like a whole nother life, a whole nother world, a whole nother experience and expression. God is about to do some things, but as we've said so many times before, the prophetic word is not a guarantee, it is an invitation. And as a house, we want to step into that, we want to respond to that invitation. How do you do that? By the power of God who has touched you, by His grace, by the ability that He confers upon you to step into His grace and believe God for more, even from a place of brokenness or weakness or foolishness. Trust and believe that God can raise you up into something absolutely indescribable. How does He get us where He needs us to be? His promises are a word we need to get us to His unforeseen destiny for us. And God has given us such powerful promises. When I was thinking about this message, I couldn't help but think of an old film because it has such a profound moment in it. Do you remember, most of you saw The Help when it came out? Do you remember when the maid is speaking to the little white girl over which she has care, who's so uncertain of herself, and what does she say? You is what? You is kind, you is good, you is important, right? You is kind, you is good. That was such a powerful moment, wasn't it? Where in this case, a responsible adult is able to speak over and into the life of a little child. You're kind, you're good, you're important. And this is precisely what God has been doing over your life. Declaring the truth about your reborn life in Christ daily, continually, whispering into your spirit the reality of your transformed existence in Him. Now, only you and I can cultivate hope and life in our own lives. We have to cultivate hope and joy. Hope is the joyful anticipation of something that is about to happen that is good. You know that. When we speak to children, their joy is a spontaneous response to attention and to delight. And so in a sense, children are not governing their hope-filled response to life. They are responding to stimulus and to environments and to attention. That's wonderful. Adults, on the other hand, we have developed the ability to remain dour and sour and disappointed through the most delightful circumstances, should we so choose. Hope for you and I is a choice, and only we can cultivate a life full of joy and hope. And that can only genuinely be a response to God's touching your life, God's declaring over your life, your remembering who you are in God, in Christ Jesus. Yeah? Remember who you are. Consider your life and your future. Yeah? Lamentations 1 and verse 9, the Lord is declaring judgment over Israel and Jerusalem. And the judgment comes here that Zion, in this case, remember this no-account Jerusalem that God touched and raised to an eternal position, that same Jerusalem, failing to consider her future, fell into sin. Because Jerusalem failed to consider her destiny. Our task this morning in the few minutes that remain is to consider our destiny in Christ, to remember who you are and what he's called you to. A city, isn't it true, can only fall into sin to the degree that it is called to a destiny. If this is the destiny of Nambour, then the possibility is that Nambour could remain equally in the opposite direction. But for the grace of God and those like you and I who believe and pray for the peace and the prosperity of the city wherein God has placed us. And therefore we dare to believe that Nambour, this amazing fire town, can rise beyond empty shop fronts on Curry Street to be a thriving center where peace reigns, where miracles happen on the streets, where again the LG ward is increasingly vacant, where the influence of those who are operators, who are ambassadors of the kingdom, are increasingly felt to the point that the city is transformed into its destiny. But it takes cooperation. It takes you and I doing what Morag suggested just now. Okay. The weak and foolish things can only shame the strong and wise if they outstrip and outshine the pretenders. Okay. A city that is not like Nambour is precisely the raw material God can use. And he will. But it requires the cooperation of those that have been placed here as kind of like shock troops, dropped in behind the lines, ready to bring the purposes of God to Firetown, to this amazing city. Yeah? Names are important. Noah takes off back for California tonight. He flies home after his 3-week visit. We're going to sorely miss him. It's going to leave a big hole. But we're very, very proud of Ginny and I, of both our kids. And on this occasion, we just bless Noah as he travels out and continues to pursue, as the folk up here, the destiny of God that is on his life, and to not flag in that or get stuck, but just going after God and trusting that God will bring about all that God has desired for his life. We just bless you, Noah, with that unassailable future that God has already called you to. But he and I, just last week, now I'm almost embarrassed to tell you this, Noah and I went to see Aquaman. It is bad. It is so, it's as bad as the comics ever were. All right, now I was a comic book kid, but I never bought Aquaman because it was just lame. Talking to the... Saw it. Also, excellent. But Aquaman... Okay, talking to the fish, he was wearing green and yellow. It just doesn't work for me. I mean, seriously. My mother-in-law used to say green, blue and green should never be seen, but actually that's not the case. It's yellow and green. Don't wear that together. It's bad. I'm talking about clothes. I'm having a bad day between ISIS and insulting my nation of adoption. But here's the point I wanted to get to, if I could just shut up long enough to arrive there. Superheroes are named for what they are, right? So a guy that talks to fish, I don't know, what should we call him? Oh, I don't know, how about Aquaman? That's really creative, okay? Or a guy that can do anything and is invulnerable and never dies, oh, let's call him Superman. A guy that dresses up like a bat and runs around at night, oh, I don't know, Batman, how's that, So superheroes are named for what they are, yeah? Okay, names are important, and they, we like that. Businesses often are named for what they would like to be, right? Barbecue World, yeah? Shop isn't any bigger than, our bathroom, but it's Barbecue World, We got so many worlds on the Sunshine Coast, don't we? I mean, I don't know. Name some of the worlds. There's a battery world? Oh, I can hardly wait to go there. Batteries everywhere. Yeah. So businesses are named for what they hope to be. But when God names an individual, He names them according to what they will be. It's not something you have become. It's not something you are. It's something you are becoming. And so Jacob becomes Israel. Avram becomes Avraham. Sarai becomes Sarah. In other words, in those names in particular, God inserts himself into their name, literally. Changes their name, changes their destiny. So too with Jacob becoming Israel. So too with Shimon, Simon becoming Petros, Peter. Yeah. None of these was their new name at the time of the naming, but it was a declaration over their lives that drew them into the purpose and promise of God, whereby they began the process of becoming who God said they in fact were. Yeah. Yeah. Even Australia. Now that I've insulted Australia, yeah. Australianos, yeah, Spiritus Sanctus, have we become that yet? No, it was declared back in the 17th century, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. That was a declaration not of what we were or what we hoped to be. We had no clue, but what God said you shall be. This is what you shall be. So names with God are extremely important. Therefore, you shall call his name Jesus, Yeshua. Yahweh is salvation. And everywhere Jesus went, he manifested the salvation of God in the redeeming power of God, turning the worst circumstances upside down and inside out and drawing out of them life, because it's who he was. And he could do nothing less than be what his Father had called him to be, Yeshua. Salvation is of Yahweh. And so in Isaiah 49, it says, it's too small a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and restore the preserved ones of Israel. I will also make you a light of the nations so that my salvation may reach out to the end of the earth. In Revelation 3, we read, Jesus says, I'm coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. And I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Upon you, God has conferred the privileges of citizenship and family. It's already true of you. There is an enemy who conspires to whisper lies so that each day we walk in somewhat a degree of forgetfulness. But in this new year, God, by your grace, let us walk in absolute awareness of who you've called us to be and become increasingly the identity that you have conferred upon us. Hey, with boldness, with fearlessness, with overflowing joy and ever-present hope. Everybody take a deep breath of hope in. Come on, hope, hope, hope. It's not going to be like this forever, whatever your like this may be at the moment. That issue is not going to remain forever. That's transitory. That comes and goes. You live forever. You live forever. Yeah. And in Jesus' name, we give those things the flick. Yeah. And thank you, God, for solutions, for redemption. Yeah. Just let me conclude with this. Mark, can you throw this up? We thought it would be time. It's also appropriate to rebuild the branding of the church here with Flame Tree. And so we invited Haziel, who is our very talented musician. He was playing bass this morning. He before in Mexico, he had a graphic arts business. And Haziel is just a man of God that we appreciate so much. And so we tasked him with coming up with the possibility of rebranding Flame Tree. And he's come up with a design that the elders have seen and the church staff have seen, and we're feeling inclined towards it. We're enjoying it. And let me just show you some of the renderings here. These won't be perfect, and they may not be absolutely complete. This is a picture just of the root of the tree. And so you see it's a close-up, but you see the flames that are now in the root of the tree or in the trunk of the tree that is associated with, thanks, Mark, go on to the next view. Of this, and so And what I like to say here, and let me just say this about what we see here. And we've been working and looking at this for, well, over a couple months now. And again, it's not necessarily done and dusted and carved in stone, but I like the direction we're going. And so here, as opposed to the old logo, we have a healthy tree, but the fire is in the trunk and in the roots. In other words, we're going deeper. We're going deeper. And that same, and as you understand, guys, this name was given to us by the Lord almost 10 years ago now. Was it that long? Must be. Hey, it's a name very clearly that God assigned to this house, and so we don't take it lightly. And this is something we wanted a prophetic hand on, and Hazi was able to bring that to us. And let me show you some other slides too, how it might be rendered yet. We're still working on all of this, and continue, Mark. So, you know, on artwork or on stationery or in the on the internet, we would see it this way and carry on or however. But I think it's a very compelling design. I don't know how you feel about that. But I love the idea of taking the flame out of the leaves, which burn very quickly, bright and furiously and visibly, but very quickly, and putting it in the trunk and in the roots. And I remember when Ginny and I lived in Singapore. Singapore had a problem. Thanks, Mark. Is there any more there? And I want to appreciate Hazi. Are you still in the house? Where are you, Haziel? Would you just stand up, folks? Would you appreciate Haziel for the work that he's done on this? Thank you so much. I just really love it. But I remember when Ginny and I lived in Singapore, there were a number of years where the smoke in Singapore was that damaging. It brought about some asthma in Elise that went away miraculously a year later. But the smoke drifted over Singapore that was coming from fires in Indonesia. And what was happening, that farmers were clearing their land with fire, failing to understand that coal deposits were very close to the surface, and they would catch on fire, and these great seams of coal would burn, and they couldn't put them out, and they would burn for years. And so the land was smoking, and in the right season, the wind would blow, and Singapore, where we lived, was just encased in smoke, and it was treacherous. It was treacherous, yeah. But the point I'm making is when a fire gets deep in your soul, it cannot easily be put out. And that's what I believe God wants to do for us in 2019. He wants us to go deeper with him and have that fire there that no man can put out. And that will be the engine room, as it were, for all that he requires of us in this new year. Because God has declared flame tree over this house, even as he's declared sonship over each one of us. And so, Father, we surrender to what you have declared. We surrender to what you would have us do and what you would have us be involved in. We surrender to you, Lord God, for your love compels us, and we're just in love with you, Jesus. We are just in love with you. Everything that we are derives from you, Lord God. Each one of us, unique expressions of the Almighty God, of the life of Jesus in a world desperate to see him. So, Lord, we pray, Lord God, that you will supernaturally remove from us reticence, uncertainty, timidity, all of the small filters that reduce our influence and that cause us to shirk our passion to speak boldly of you. Lord God, no, we shake it off and we say, Lord, we stand up as your sons and daughters. And we are becoming everything that you have called us to be. And not one of us will fail, because you have promised to finish that which you have completed. And in that day, you will call us by a name that is fresh and new and wonderful and unique. And we will have become everything that you desire, everything that you spoke into being when we were born and when we were reborn. So we thank you for it, Lord, for the confidence and the hope that that brings us. And we bless you, Lord God, for this new year. And for the good things afoot, in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful afternoon. By the way, that slide up for coffee again. The cafe is not yet open again until February, but I think there is some free instant coffee available out there as usual for anybody that wants to partake. So you have a wonderful afternoon, and we will see you anon.